Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
www.com. Thank you so much for giving me your day. And remember, we change tomorrow by changing today. And we have to, because tomorrow really matters. Make sure you tell that friend. Stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Barack Obama plans an announcement of his running mate by Friday with a public appearance in Illinois on Saturday. It is a plan subject to change, we're told. CBS's Dan Revive.
We know to some extent the how and when. We don't know whom Obama is choosing to be running mate. We understand from sources that late Friday, Obama intends to tell his supporters by cell phone text message on Saturday, Obama to appear with his running mate in Springfield, Illinois.
CBS's Jeff Greenfield on the possibilities.
I think of someone like a Governor Kaine or Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius represents a kind of a risk. That is, they are sacrificing the chance to pick an experienced graybeard and making a case that what we need is fresh, new ideas.
Republican John McCain visited an oil rig in the Gulf today, telling workers anyone should see the need to drill for more oil when supply is always an issue. And he urges Obama to do more homework on the subject.
I hope he'll seize the opportunity to come out and pay a visit like this one. I think it will probably change his mind.
McCain may announce his running mate on August 29th, according to the Politico. Those who thought we were all but done with Tropical Storm Fay are checking out the new weather charts at the National Hurricane Center.
Looks like it could be a boomerang storm.
Fay is a better organized storm now than it was before it hit the Keys, and when it emerges in the Atlantic near Daytona in the morning, has a pretty good chance of becoming a hurricane in the Gulf Stream and then hooking right back into northern Florida, or maybe Georgia. Florida Governor Charlie Crist.
The National Guard has been activated. Members are being sent to 14 counties thus far.
The slower economy and inflation are squeezing our pocketbooks flatter.
I don't go out after work with the friends every day anymore because it's way too expensive now.
New housing starts were not as bad as expected in July, but still at a 17-year low. And inflation jumped 7/10 at the core for the month. Producer prices up half a point more than that. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 130 points today. The Nasdaq was down 32 points. The dollar lost a bit more ground to the euro today, and they tell us oil was up over $114 a barrel once again. In the former Soviet state of Georgia, President Mikhail Saakashvili.
There is not a big secret that most of their soldiers are terribly drunk, and they are going around and looting and, severely terrorizing the people around.
Meanwhile, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev says most of his troops will be out of Georgia by Friday. Now here's one that probably won't surprise you. The economy's slow, pocketbooks are pinched, organic food sales have slowed down because organic costs more. It's based on data from Stonyfield Farms, Whole Foods, and Organic Valley Family Co-ops. This is CBS News.
Great moments in summer games history from Tiger Balm.
In 1984, American Joan Benoit convincingly won gold in the first ever women's marathon competition. You, on the other hand, ran out of breath after two blocks, tripped over your dog, and strained the arch of your left foot. Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. A 100-year pain relief formula trusted by people around the world. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
There's a reason you come to Sherwin-Williams. You just expect more from us. Better paint, better advice, a better way to realize your vision.
At your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store, we have exceptional products and unparalleled expertise because painting and decorating is all we do. And now save up to 20% on a wide variety of paints and stains. Stop in. You'll be amazed what happens when you ask. For a store near you, visit Sherwin-Williams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The Sasquatch finders still haven't produced the corpse they claim is a Bigfoot for public inspection, and that's costing one decorated cop his job north of Atlanta.
Clayton County Police Chief Jeff Turner is shocked at allegations against would-be Bigfoot finder Officer Matt Whitten.
His credibility is shot, his integrity, his dignity.
The six-year police veteran is accused of faking the Bigfoot discovery, taking a huge advance, and then disappearing.
What he did is an embarrassment, and he should not be in the law enforcement profession.
In short, Turner says Whitten is so fired, and if he hears this, Turner has a message for Whitten. You need to turn in your gun and your uniform. Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
When a backpack fell on a woman's head outside a hotel in Pensacola, she took a peek inside to return it to the owner, and eyebrows raised, took it to the nearest sheriff's deputy. They say it's a portable methamphetamine laboratory, complete with the owner's probation ID card from Tennessee. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Great moments in summer games history from Tiger Balm.
In 2000, the U.S. 4x100 relay team won the gold in a blistering 37.61 seconds. You, on the other hand, managed to strain your calf muscle in just 0.61 seconds, celebrating a touchdown in your last flag football game. Oh! Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. A 100-year pain relief formula trusted by people around the world. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, let's see. Progressive is more than just cascading waterfalls and lush green gardens. It's all your auto insurance wants and needs, like the chance to save hundreds and the fact that we're there for you 24/7 to answer any questions. And they're not answered by magical nymphs, but by licensed agents, which is nice. Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company's affiliates may feel fields, Ohio. Prices vary based on item.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We've got a lot to talk about today, and only 3 hours to talk. Oh, keep the music on there, Nick. Nick's working the board today, figuring out how it all happens. In a moment, a live report from the Mediterranean, the Free Gaza Flotilla. We're back in touch, unable to reach them yesterday, but we'll talk to Paula Rudy here in just a moment. Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst, the guy who gave the daily briefing to President Reagan, has written an open letter to Colin Powell. He also has some comments on the change of the guard in Pakistan. He'll join us in a few minutes. Later this hour, Alexander Melikashvili from the Monterey Institute with more on the conflict between Russia, Georgia, and where the U.S. stands in all of that. Next hour, Tom Hayden, an activist back in 1968 at Chicago Convention. He's going to join us to talk about a progressive agenda for next week's Democratic National Convention, where we'll be broadcasting live from Denver. Also on today's show, Jason Leopold from the Public Record talks about John McCain's paid political advice that he gets from lobbyists about foreign policy and other issues. Melanie Sloan will check in from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, and we'll get the latest on Senator Ted Stevens as he defends against the charges of corruption there. That's all ahead. Your calls and comments are welcome. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our toll free number. And you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Now we're going to check in with Dr. Paul LaRudy from the Free Gaza Movement. They are in the Mediterranean Sea. Last we heard, they were moving from Crete toward Cyprus. And yesterday we were unable to reach them, but the sat phone is working today. Dr. LaRudy, welcome back to our program.
Thank you, Peter. It's good to be with you. We're just off the coast of Cyprus right now. We're following the coast around to our destination, which is Larnaca. And there we're going to finally unify the sections of our group that have been there with the section that's with us.
Well, this is great. You're making good progress. And, Paul, we have been concerned stateside here by the reports that we've read at your website at freegaza.org and elsewhere about various threats that have been leveled at Lauren Booth, who is the sister-in-law of former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, and also that both a Reuters and a BBC photojournalist were pulled off coverage of your flotilla headed toward Gaza.
Yes, we don't have a full explanation of why they were pulled off, but we expect that to be filled by some others who are coming with us, and we're also expecting to have with us a member of the Greek Parliament, and there's a possibility that a member of the Cypriot Parliament will also be with us. As far as the concerns about our safety and the threats are concerned, we haven't had any more threats, and of course, Lauren Booth is fine, and her husband called her just a short while ago, and they got back together because he was concerned about that. But we're taking the threats seriously, but we also are concentrating on what we think the actual Israeli response will be.
And Dr. Larudi, your mission here is to challenge the Israeli blockade of Gaza by landing there and going ashore sometime in the next week or so. Do you care to give an estimate of when you expect to be off the coast of Gaza?
We do expect to be off the coast of Gaza in about 2 days. 2 or 3 days would be the departure date from Cyprus, is in 2 or 3 days. And we'll be off the coast of Gaza maybe 30 hours after we set out from here.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, Paul, tomorrow I'm taking the day off, so you probably won't hear from us. You might if Scott Dick, my substitute, has time to give you a call. If not, I will be back in touch with you on Thursday, and we'll check your progress at that time.
Sounds great. Okay, good to talk to you, and thanks for everyone's support.
All right, that's Dr. Paul Larudi aboard the ships that are on their way toward the coast of Gaza over the next week or so. And this is a very important, peaceful, nonviolent challenge to the Israeli occupation and lockdown of the West Bank and Gaza. If you want to find out more, go to freegaza.org. That's freegaza.org. Ray McGovern joins me now. Ray served as a CIA analyst for 25-plus years, and he is a founding member of VIPS, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. Ray, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Peter B. How are you?
Not too bad. It's good to have you with us again.
Thank you.
And I was struck by the open letter that you published at our friend Robert Perry's website, consortiumnews.com, over the weekend. An open letter to a man that you used to see on a daily basis in the Reagan White House, the former Secretary of State, Colin Powell.
Yes, I thought it was high time I got back in touch, so to speak.
Well, it's a beautifully written letter, and it's very personal. You refer to him on a first-name basis quite often. And tell us a little bit about what motivated you to offer this advice about how Colin Powell could clear his name of complicity in the pre-war lies and fudging of intelligence by the Bush administration.
Well, Peter B., it's really quite amazing what has happened over the last couple of weeks. Most people don't know this. I think your listeners probably do. But 6 months and 1 day before the invasion of Iraq, the President of the United States, George W. Bush, was briefed by his head of CIA, George Tenet, on the recruitment and the reporting of the Iraqi foreign minister. Yeah, that's right. The Iraqi foreign minister who Saddam Hussein thought was working for him, but was really working for us. Okay, what did he tell us? He told us there were no weapons of mass destruction. Now, if you didn't happen to catch 60 Minutes in April of 06, you may have missed it because somehow the fawning corporate media missed it altogether. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, we know that the foreign minister had told us that, and again, 6 months, one day before the invasion. Now we know that we had also, with the help of the British, recruited the head of Iraqi intelligence. His name, curiously enough, Habush.
Habush. Okay? Yes, that is curious.
Now, he told us at the end of January 2003, so, you know, 2 months before the invasion, and a week or two before Colin Powell got up and made a fool of himself in front of the UN, what Habush told us was, guess what? There are no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had a reporting record on the Iraqi foreign minister, Naji Sabri, and we had a couple weeks' worth of reporting record on Habush as well. But our Bush, in typically Bush League fashion, dismissed both of these reports as being, just what you expect to hear from the Iraqis, see?
Yeah.
So with that in mind, and with the sources, actually in each case, two CIA former officials, with these sources saying not only was this information kept from Congress, not only was it kept from others, intelligence analysts with the job of reporting on Iraq, it was kept from the Secretary of State, whose name in those days was Colin Powell. So I wrote to Colin. He and I have a lot of things in common. We grew up in the same part of the Bronx, and we know each other pretty well. I said, look, Colin, you've talked about this blot on your record. The reason you regret your speech at the UN is because it put a blot on your record. Now, just between you and me, Peter B., I would have thought that he would be more pained at the 4,000 U.S. troops killed or the hundreds of thousands of Iraqis killed. But no, Colin is worried about the blot on his record. So I said, here, Colin, here's a golden opportunity to remove or at least wipe off some of that stain. And all you have to do is come clean, and hey, how is this for an idea? You could tell the truth. And if it is true, what these CIA former officials are saying, that in neither case, that is, in the case of the Naji Sabri, the foreign minister, or Habush, the head of Iraqi intelligence, in both cases, if you were kept in the dark and you were led down the primrose path, so to speak, to make a fool of yourself and the rest of us before the UN, well, you know, it seems to me, Colin, that at least where we grew up in the Bronx, you didn't sort of sit back at that. You know, walking away from that was sort of like walking away from guys who are messing with your sister. You know, you just don't do that, Colin. And so, look, if it's true that you didn't know about these things, it's time you came forward and told the world. Now, if you did know about it, you know, if you knew about it just like you now that we know that you participated in those planning sessions for torture where CIA folks came in and actually demonstrated the techniques, the waterboarding and so forth, and mm-hmm. you were part of that cabal, so you knew about that. So if you know about these other things and these other reports are spurious that you were kept in the dark, well, we'll expect you to keep quiet about this. So it's up to him now. You know, John Conyers is once again pretending, I should be more charitable. He's saying that, he's really interested now that Ron Susskind has made these revelations.
Right.
This is the most important investigation of all the crimes of the Bush administration. Well, if that's true, who better than Colin Powell? Not to be subpoenaed, although I'd favor that, but give him a chance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Give Colin Powell a chance to come forward and say, okay, all right, there's this blot on my record, and besides all these people killed, and maybe I ought to do the right thing with a view toward when I meet St. Peter and he asks me to explain everything, as we would say in the Bronx.
Ray McGovern's with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll continue in just a moment. You can dial in at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And on Friday's program, author Ron Susskind will join us, and we'll talk to him about that effort to forge a document with Habush's signature on it, linking Saddam to 9/11. More in a moment, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. I want to thank the roofing crew that's putting a new roof on our office building here for wrapping up just in time for us to start the show today. They were very cooperative. We're talking with Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And, Ray, in the piece you wrote, your open letter to Colin Powell, you made a number of comments here, and what I'm curious about, do you think that he would testify before Conyers Judiciary Committee? And one of the rumors is that he's prepared to endorse Barack Obama. Wouldn't that be an opportunity for him, borrowing a phrase from Obama's stump speech, to turn the page, Ray?
Well, I'm not waiting with bated breath, Peter B., for a response from a colon or even for any action on his part. One reason I try to get this aired out into the open is so that Barack Obama can judge for himself what kind of person he's dealing with. Powell has a very checkered career behind him. Not many people know that. Many feel sorry for him, having been deceived by the intelligence folks there into making that dastardly speech. It's much more complicated than that. And what I had hoped is if Colin has a conscience, you know, if he can be concerned with anything more than just a blot on his record, well, here's his chance to come forward. And we need someone like that, because Conyers is going to let the administration sort of diddle him back and forth. He's not going to do anything, in my view. And so it will take something like a person like Colin Powell to say, all right, this is enough. I really ought to come clean now and tell the story, particularly if he can claim innocence from knowing that both the Iraqi foreign minister and the head of Iraqi intelligence both told us before the war that there were no weapons of mass destruction.
Well, Ray, Powell was cut out of the loop on torture, on all the stuff coming out of the vice president's office, the initiatives of David Addington.
No, so he wasn't.
Yeah?
No, he wasn't.
No?
He remonstrated in a memorandum to Alberto Gonzalez in late January 2002. He said, you know, it wouldn't be good for the Army to do torture. And then he let his lawyer talk to the White House lawyer, William Howard Taft.
Mm-hmm.
And Taft's letter got to the White House on January 26, 2002. Gonzalez and David Addington, knowing that the letter was coming, sent their memo to the president on the 25th of January 2002, and that was the judgment. You know, we don't have to obey Geneva. That was the judgment upon which the President of the United States issued an action memorandum dated 7 February 2002, which is the smoking gun, in which the President authorizes various and sundry to ignore Geneva, but to treat detainees, and I quote, humanely as appropriate. And as consistent with military necessity, period, end quote. That's not what Geneva says. So you have the smoking gun there. Mm-hmm. And what did Powell do? Well, he said, I'll be a good team player. And he just kept quiet. And then we learned later that a few months later he was in that little cabal that met together with Rice and Cheney and Gonzalez and...
That's true. That's the Principals Committee of the National Security Council. Very well said. Let's go to Dave in Eureka for a comment. Dave, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Ray McGovern.
Hey, Ray and Peter. I'm thinking that if Colin Powell doesn't know at this point that he was severely lied to, he's either a good old boy partner in this crime family, or he is hopelessly unaware and capable of learning.
So, Ray, good old boy in the crime family or hopelessly unaware? Those are the options Dave gave us.
Well, it's a stretch to say he could have been hopelessly unaware. I mean, and there's so many things. What he was confronted with when they gave him the first draft of his speech. The notion that he was so naive that he didn't know what game Tenet and Cheney were playing. The fact that he dissed his own analysts in the State Department who knew a lot better and assessed things much better.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, you know, he thought that by putting the shameless George Tenet behind him while he spoke, that this would have some sort of incentive for Tenet to tell the truth. All those things defy credulity.
I want people to read your piece, Ray.
We have to give them a chance, and that's what I'm doing here.
Gotcha. Ray, thank you very much. The piece is at consortiumnews.com. And we didn't have time to talk about your Pakistan piece, but in essence, you say Musharraf pulled a Nixon. And gosh, I wish we could threaten impeachment and get Bush to resign. Ray McGovern, thank you very much. We'll talk again soon.
You're most welcome.
Coming up, another look at Georgia, Russia, and the United States here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. For a definitive diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease, you need to determine whether a person has the characteristic clumps called plaque that build up in the brain. Unfortunately, the only way to see that plaque has been to autopsy the brain itself after the patient has died. But now, in what may be a major breakthrough, a study in Finland shows that a new kind of positron emission tomography, or PET scan for short, can determine whether the plaque is there.
What we think may be the important result of these new kinds of PET scans is to determine very early in the course of illness who has Alzheimer's disease with the accumulation of this abnormal protein and who does not.
More from Dr. Kirk Fry, director of the PET Scan Center at the University of Michigan, after this. Did you know that the most common cause of blindness in people over age 60 is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, or AMD? The good news is that this doesn't happen overnight, though in some people it can develop very quickly. It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you're not seeing clearly, see an eye doctor and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is the key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
Office Depot is giving you the chance to win a trip for four to Hollywood, to attend a concert benefiting cancer research at City of Hope, starring Miley Cyrus and the Jonas Brothers. You'll also get to meet the artists backstage. Shop at Office Depot for your back-to-school needs. Then take your receipt to www.officedepotsweepstakes.com to enter and get official rules and free entry details. Sweepstakes ends 11:59 p.m. Pacific Time, August 29, 2008. No purchase necessary. Void in Rhode Island and where prohibited. Open to contiguous U.S. residents 13 and older.
Experts have been looking for years for a way to determine whether Alzheimer plaques are present in the brain. The plaques contain a particular kind of amyloid protein, and now with a tracer that binds to that kind of protein, the new PET scan can apparently find them.
The tracer is injected into the circulation, into a vein. It circulates through the body, but it accumulates preferentially where it encounters this abnormal protein that it's designed to stick to.
Why is this important?
The significance of finding, particularly in the earliest stages, that this protein is present would be then to identify a patient who might benefit from new therapies that are targeted at preventing that protein from further accumulating or even possibly reversing its accumulation if it has already begun.
Alzheimer's has been untreatable and ultimately fatal.
These newer treatments that specifically go after this abnormal protein and try to restrict and reduce its accumulation have the potential to actually alter the course of Alzheimer's disease if they are successful.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Governor Bush swung far to the right and sought out the base support of Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell. Those aren't the ideas that I think are good for the Republican Party.
I believe that the Christian right has a major role to play in the Republican Party.
Neither party should be defined by pandering to the outer reaches of American politics and the agents of intolerance.
Do you believe that Jerry Falwell is still an agent of intolerance?
No, I don't.
It took us a long time to get in the situation we're in, and to say that and somehow assume that in a few months that things are going to get all better, I think is not realistic.
Say it's all in. How long are you going to give it to work?
A few months.
That Al-Qaeda is going back into Iran and receiving training and are coming back into Iraq from Iran, that's well known. I'm sorry, the Iranians are training extremists, not Al-Qaeda.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour. Coming up next hour, Tom Hayden returns to our program, a progressive Democrat. We'll talk about the convention in Denver next week.
I saw a face in the shower door. A cowboy smile came and faded. I reached for my towel on the floor. I didn't.
Concrete Blonde and Johnette Napolitano. She's got an amazing voice. Well, the situation in Georgia remains confusing. And the U.S. role there is something that also, I think, can use more explanation. We turn again to Alexander Melishkishvili from the Monterey Institute for International Studies. He joined us last week, and he returns today. Alexander, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And tell me your sense of the current status. Georgia and Russia have both signed off on the Sarkozy ceasefire plan, if we can call it that. But it appears that Russia is taking its sweet time in withdrawing its forces, and doesn't appear that all of the Russian forces are leaving Georgia on the most direct route.
That's right. That's a correct impression. Basically, Russia, one of the most important provisions of the ceasefire agreement is the unconditional and immediate withdrawal of Russian forces from Georgia proper. And you have a situation in which Russian side is inventing and reinventing the reasons, pretexts, and rationales for stalling their withdrawal. Today they staged, with the assistance from the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, they staged this partial withdrawal from Gori. But in fact, actually, American officials are confirming this. There are no signs of large-scale withdrawal.
We also see a kind of slash-and-burn approach, which is somewhat reminiscent for Americans of Sherman's March to the Sea, where Russian forces have been destroying Georgian military bases, armaments, and other equipment. They confronted a line of police cars blocking the road yesterday, and the tanks were just used to push it aside. This was near Gori. And so those pictures were rather dramatic when you saw the Georgian police really helpless as the Russian tanks and armored personnel carriers just rolled right over them.
Absolutely. You are correctly referring to the scorched earth tactics, so to speak. And, in fact, I would like to refer to the devastation that was basically brought upon the Georgian villages in South Ossetia, as well as in the villages that were located close to Gori, in which after the Russian troops advanced, behind them there were irregulars, all kinds of irregulars. I'm talking Cossack volunteers, the North Caucasus militants, including Chechens, and South Ossetian militias. And there are reports, confirmed reports, of tremendous ethnic cleansing that took place. I want to remind the listeners that at this point, United Nations estimates that there are approximately 158,000 internally displaced persons in Georgia. In addition to what you mentioned about yesterday's incident between police, Georgian police, and the Russian military, today there was a report from Port of Poti in which Russian forces advanced on a Coast Guard, Georgian Coast Guard base, and they ransacked, basically, and took three Georgian soldiers hostage. And in addition to this, after what passed joint U.S.-Georgia naval exercises, U.S. forces passed military Humvees there. So there are already actually photo evidence of Russian troops towing the American Humvees that were supposed to be actually returned to the United States.
We also have reports of civilians being subjected to various, insults, including their houses being torched and systematically ransacked. And so clearly, average citizens in Georgia are enduring a very, very difficult occupation. How temporary, we don't know, but this occupation by the Russians. And so this does play to the theme advanced by the Bush administration, the Saakashvili government, and the American media of Georgia as victim here. Alexander, I think it is important to just back up to the 8th of August and understand just the recent history there. Russia was conducting war games in north and portions of South Ossetia, And they had completed these war games and still had these large numbers of tanks and troops in that area. So Georgia's decision to launch a military incursion into South Ossetia, which, of course, it claims as a rightful part of Georgia, was at least ill-timed and poorly conceived given the position of Russian forces there.
Of course, this is something that the Georgian leadership should take into account. But you need to, when we look at the chronology of events that led to the outbreak of violence, we need to take into account the precise sequence. And I'm talking about the evening of the Thursday, August 7th.
Mm-hmm.
So what was happening at the time was one of the largest Georgian villages in South Ossetia, Tamarashe, came under increasing fire from the South Ossetian from the territory controlled by South Ossetian separatists. As a result, Georgian leadership was confronted with as the fire escalated, as the South Ossetian separatists disregarded the ceasefire that was offered unilaterally by the Georgian side, the fire escalated, and there was a real threat that Georgian villages in South Ossetia, and I want to remind the listeners that the ethnic landscape is rather checkered in South Ossetia. There was a real threat that the Georgian villages would be basically wiped out. And the government was confronted with this decision and made a decision to advance the troops. And the rest is history. And as you correctly point out, yes, there were actually large-scale military maneuvers in July. Yes, and they were called Caucasus 2008, very large scale on the Russian part,
mm-hmm.
and that is say in the North Caucasus. And they were the prelude. Now we understand that they were the prelude for the invasion.
Yes. We're talking with Alexander Melikishvili from the Monterey Institute for International Studies. If you have a question or comment about the situation in Georgia, the U.S. posture, you're welcome to call toll-free 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. You mentioned just a moment ago the ethnic landscape in South Ossetia is checkered. Give us a little more information about that, Alexander.
Well, roughly we can say that about one-third of the population of South Ossetia was Georgian. Now I can no longer say that because the territory of South Ossetia was entirely ethnically cleansed of Georgians, and most of these Georgians are in Georgia proper right now. So it's one-third, and the location of the villages is not necessarily neatly doing some sort of enclave type of disposition, you know, have villages that are scattered around, really, which makes it all the more difficult. So that's the in a nutshell the landscape.
Mm-hmm. And what do you make of the reports that Russia has been installing some missiles in South Ossetia that were not there before 8808?
That's extremely disconcerting. It's extreme. This is something that the Georgian side is taking very seriously, and the United States, they mentioned this issue with the Russians on a number of occasions. Actually, with the United States satellite technology, it was obvious that they moved it at the end of last week, actually. Yes, about 10 kilometers outside of Tchin Valley, the capital of South Ossetia, on an elevation, there are several SS-21 short-range missiles. Now, the threat that they pose is very significant because basically SS-21 can reach any point in Georgia, including Tbilisi.
Mm-hmm. And do you see this as a kind of missile crisis, somewhat reminiscent of our situation over Cuba with the U.S. and the Soviet Union in 1961 and 1962, a kind of game of chicken with missiles?
Well, to be honest with you, I think the Russians are basically positioning themselves in such a manner that even if they are to withdraw from Georgia proper, they would still have sort of a very important military lever over publicity, because if you think about it, yeah, with the push of a button, they can drastically affect the security situation in Georgia proper. So I would say that the comparisons with the Cuban Missile Crisis, while it may not be entirely justified, but I would say that it's certainly valid.
Well, and I see the flip side of it, Alexander, which is I believe that the U.S. is posturing about missile defense, yet we moved forward just in the last week on hardening an agreement with Poland to cite a limited number of these missile defense systems that don't work. And I don't believe that it's much of a bluff. But it does appear that Putin takes this rather personally and feels that the U.S. and NATO are trying to build a ring of defenses around Russia and not, as we purport, Iran. And in some ways, I'm sympathetic. And on the other hand, we know that these missile defense systems don't work. And the U.S. has invested over $150 billion since the 1980s on this technology. And so why is it that that Putin would take a bluff like this so seriously?
Well, that's actually a very important point that you highlighted, because I think it has to do with a crucial difference in perception. Because regardless of the assurances from Washington about the fact that the missile defense, and by the way, you are somewhat correct when you point out that the feasibility of the missile defense remains, by and large, questionable. But leaving that point aside, from the Washington's point of view, the White House's assurances vis-à-vis Russia that this is directed only towards rogue states, including Iran, and this is a limited missile defense, and certainly is not intended to undermine vast ballistic missile arsenal of Russian Federation, they fall on deaf ears, because you are absolutely correct. Russian leadership perceives this as a direct threat. Whether it is or not, it actually doesn't even matter, because that's the way Russia views it. And I think that the Polish-American sort of signing was rushed directly by the events in Georgia, because the Warsaw saw that Russia means business. And actually, if you look into the provisions of the U.S.-Polish agreement, you will see that Americans actually agreed on positioning the Patriot missile batteries that are intended to protect Poland from military strikes by the Russian Federation. That is to say, Poland, NATO member country, is still not sure about the Article 5 of the NATO alliance. That is to say, they want extra guarantees because Polish leadership is not sure that the NATO cavalry will ride to rescue them in time.
Very interesting. We're going to pick up there as we continue. We'll take a break and return with Alexander Melikishvili from the Monterey Institute for International Studies. You can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And my email is available 24/7. That's peter at peterbcollins.com.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
You're listening to the greatest talk radio station on the planet, west of the Mississippi, along the Pacific coast, in California, below Davenport, above Lucia, and west of the Gavilan Mountains. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
One show.
Minutes in front of the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. Kicking off next hour, Tom Hayden returns to our program. He was part of the Weather Underground and one of the Chicago 8 defendants as a result of the 1968 Democratic Convention. We'll get his thoughts on the Denver Convention that gets underway next week. We'll be there live every day, Monday through Thursday. I want to thank all the listeners who have helped us underwrite the cost for this adventure, and I still need a little more help. You can help. Go to my website. It's right there at the top. The link says you can help at Peter B. Collins.com. We continue with Alexander Melikashvili from the Monterey Institute for International Studies talking about the situation in Georgia. And Alexander, one of the things that I'm feeling, and I just want your reaction, is that the U.S. is exploiting residual hatred of Russia left over from the Cold War. Now, certainly Russia hasn't endeared itself to the world through its hardball tactics in Georgia and the slash and burn that they're leaving behind, and I'm not excusing that. At the same time, it appears that the U.S. is able to capitalize on the sense of both Putin and Russia as longtime villains of the United States.
Well, I think that this question has to do with the domain of psychology. So I don't know if I'm very qualified to answer it. But I should say that I don't think this is a very characterization of what's happening. Because if you just follow the events with regard to, say, for instance, NATO ministerial meeting, emergency meeting that took place today, and if you look at the strong worded statement that followed the meeting with regard to the situation in Georgia, you can clearly tell that the United States is balancing its desire to punish Russia for its actions against Georgia with the interests of European allies. And it is no secret that you have, as was the case with the NATO Bucharest summit in April of this year, there are significant disagreements within EU, European Union, with regard to what policy options should be pursued vis-a-vis Russia. So,
well, and it seems that we are pulling back, the U.S. and other allies, members of NATO, are pulling back from the idea that Georgia will be the next member.
Well, if you look into the communique that was issued today, there is an unprecedented step that the NATO Council, the Atlantic Council, is taking towards Georgia. That is the establishment of the NATO-Georgia Commission that is intended to help Georgia defend itself. So while Georgia not being a member of NATO, there are steps being taken to remedy the situation. That is to say, Russia's actions that were aimed to diminish military and civilian infrastructure will be remedied by the reconstruction assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question of membership, if you look into the official statements, you can see that even the membership action plan for Georgia and Ukraine, because Georgia and Ukraine are considered sort of together,
right,
will not be on the table at least until December. And even then, the accelerated pace is probably ruled out.
Mm-hmm. And what would you like to comment on here that I haven't asked you about that you think my listeners ought to know to try to understand this somewhat complicated situation?
Well, I think that aside from the background that precipitated the escalation of tensions in South Korea, I think we should look at the actions and the facts on the ground as they are. That is to say, I urge listeners to look into the situation on the ground, and there are plenty of information sources online and otherwise. And the situation on the ground is such that you have a sovereign state, an independent state, and the Federation signed up on a number of United Nations declarations that unequivocally support the territorial integrity of Georgia. And yet, despite of all this, you have countless excuses, and the Russian forces maintain their presence on Georgia's territory.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that is inadmissible, and this is something that cannot stand. And another thing that is important, and something that you have not brought up, which is one of the main Russia's intentions in Georgia is a regime change.
Right.
They want to engineer regime change by controlling the east-west, actually cutting the east-west transportation link.
That's right. They blew up the bridge.
That's right. They blew up the bridge, and the CNN correspondent, Michael Wood, actually was on the place a little bit after it was blown up,
mm-hmm,
in the Caspi district in the eastern Georgia. And they want to economically strangle the government, and they want to create conditions that would allow for possible possible popular strife and insurrection against the Saakashvili regime.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the medium to long-term objectives. Get rid of Saakashvili, and if not install a Russian puppet, then at least come up with a stable alternative.
Mm-hmm. Alexander, I want to thank you for your comments again today. It's a pleasure to talk with you, and I appreciate your insights.
Thank you very much for having me.
Alexander Melikashvili from the Monterey Institute, and every time I get a little better in pronouncing his name. Thank you, sir. Coming up next, we'll take a break and return with Tom Hayden. We're going to talk about how progressives should approach the Obama Coronation Convention in Denver next week. And you can get on the line to talk with us at 888-5-PETER-B. This program's produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Nick Tanum's on the board today and taking your calls. Podcast at peterbcollins.com. Hi, it's Peter B. urging you to check out a new website, MendingAmerica.com, dedicated to mending the damage done to our American fabric by 8 years of George W. Bush. It looks like another T-shirt site, and it is, but look deeper. Read the stories represented in the T-shirts. Hear the message of hope that our fabric can be restored, and we can once more take pride in America. Mending America believes the mending must start with the American people. We must reconnect with the values and the courage that
that founded this country. Join in by clicking the words opening question at the top of the homepage and email your thoughts. Support this effort by buying the t-shirts and bumper stickers. Better yet, buy the note cards and send the word to Congress, the media, and your friends. America is on the mend and a bright future lies before us. Use the promo code Peter B in lowercase at mendingamerica.com and get a 15% discount.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Barack Obama close to revealing his running mate.
The new Democratic ticket will appear jointly in Springfield, Illinois, where Barack Obama announced his candidacy last year.
Faye could be a hurricane yet.
Continue to stay calm. Use your common sense. And be alert.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Within days, the Obama campaign will send a text message to supporters letting them know first who's been tapped for the vice presidential slot on the Democratic ticket. CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds is on the story.
Amid reports that he's made up his mind, Obama's decision remains shrouded in secrecy, leaving him the option of making known his selection at any point this week. What is known is that Michelle Obama has played an important role in the process. While not endorsing anyone, she has emphasized that her husband should pick someone he trusts explicitly.
CBS News senior political correspondent Jeff Greenfield looks at Obama's possible choices.
He has to decide whether to underline the change argument with somebody new like a Governor Kaine of Virginia or Kathleen Sebelius, the governor of Kansas, or whether he feels he needs support on the experienced national security gravitas side with somebody like Joe Biden or Evan Bayh or Sam Nunn.
This afternoon, Senator Biden told reporters, "I'm not the guy." Now this.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity again. And if you're hearing my voice, that can mean only one thing. It's Honda clearance time. So, say it with me. Lucky you, because that means it's your chance to pick an Accord, a Civic, an Odyssey, or any other Honda you want for a deal that's very sweet. And even though this is summertime, you might want to put a little spring in your step because I don't hang around forever. Hey, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. The 2008 Honda clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm knocking. Clearance ends September 2nd.
Hi, I'm the owner of an auto body shop. And since we added Aflac to our benefits package at no direct cost to me, all my employees say the same thing. I want
Aflac.
Since we added Aflac, my whole business is running smooth.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Tropical Storm Faye never did become a hurricane before it made landfall this morning just south of Naples, Florida, but as it dumped torrential rain and spawned tornadoes, it defied conventional wisdom and got stronger. Ben Nelson is the state meteorologist.
As Faye moved onto the Everglades this afternoon, that soupy, swampy type of landmass probably helped the system maintain its integrity, but this is a unique situation.
Once Faye crosses the Florida Peninsula, Governor Charlie Crist says it can only get stronger.
It looks like it will become a hurricane, and that hurricane would potentially approach the St. Augustine area. So I would urge the citizens in that part of the state to be ready.
Georgia and the Carolinas could also be in for a blow and some much-needed rain. What they don't need is tornado damage. David Waters, the Brevard County Emergency Management spokesman, says a twister touched down in Barefoot Bay.
This was only a couple minutes, but it did enough to damage 50 homes there.
9 homes were badly damaged, but no one was seriously hurt. The economy is slowing and inflation is rising. The government says wholesale prices jumped 1.2% in July. Over the past 12 months, wholesale prices are up nearly 10%, the biggest such increase since 1981. University of Maryland economist Peter Morisi says last month's number is more than double what was expected.
Higher energy prices found their way into a lot of products, including grains and grain derivatives like bakery products because of the ethanol program. And in things like tires.
Beef prices rose more than 7%, milk 5%. We're all getting squeezed. Nikisha in New York City says the economy is affecting her social life.
I don't go out after work with the friends every day anymore because it's way too expensive now.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says there's impact across the spectrum.
Even Saks, the high-end department store, is saying that its high-end designer consumers are now beginning to cut back. So we're seeing the economic slump really now moving across the board, the discounters and the high-end retailers.
And in the real estate sales offices, in July, housing starts, construction of new homes and apartments fell to the lowest level in more than 17 years. Russia now says its forces in Georgia will withdraw to the ceasefire lines by Friday. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, who attended an emergency NATO meeting in Brussels today, told CBS News that time is up. President Dmitry Medvedev needs to keep his word.
There continue to be reports of Russian forces entering cities, holding up at ports, refusing to let people move along the highways, asking for Russian visas from people. And so clearly the Russian president hasn't kept his promise.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Great moments in summer games history from Tiger Balm.
In 1984, American Joan Benoit convincingly won gold in the first ever women's marathon competition. You, on the other hand, ran out of breath after two blocks, tripped over your dog, and strained the arch of your left foot.
Oh!
Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. A 100-year pain relief formula trusted by people around the world. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
There's a reason you come to Sherwin-Williams. You just expect more from us. Better paint, better advice, a better way to realize your vision.
At your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store, we have exceptional products and unparalleled expertise because painting and decorating is all we do. And now save up to 20% on a wide variety of paints and stains. Stop in. You'll be amazed what happens when you ask.
At Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Just a quick note, tomorrow I'm taking the day off to get charged up for our marathon run to Denver next week. Scott Dick will be sitting in for me, our regular contributor on military and veterans issues. That's tomorrow here on the PBC show. Coming up later this hour, Jason Leopold in his regular weekly visit. We'll talk about Randy Schuneman, who gets paid by the government of Georgia and gives advice on the government of Georgia to John McCain. It's a neat little package, isn't it? And right now, we welcome back Tom Hayden to our program. Tom serves as a state senator here in California. But 40 years ago this time, he was organizing demonstrations and protests in Chicago at the 1968 Democratic National Convention. Tom Hayden, welcome back to our program.
Hi, Peter B. How are you?
I'm doing okay today. And I want to...
on that story about Randy Schuneman. My goodness.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that ugly?
Well, if the Democrats can't seize on this, it's up to you and the blogosphere to go after this, because this is a decisive issue in terms of November. Absolutely decisive.
But it's very McCain. He gets economic advice from Phil Graham, who is a registered lobbyist and a guy who brought us Enron and now works over at UBS. And, in fact, he's surrounded by lobbyists who give him advice on all kinds of issues.
Well, but this is life and death. This goes to the question of McCain's character as a military leader, national security expert, etc., the issues on which the polling shows he has an advantage over Barack Obama. What we have here is a spectacular revelation that the people that literally fabricated the grounds for the U.S. starting the war with Iraq, including Randy Schuneman, mm-hmm. who was then the director of the Committee for the Liberation of Iraq,
yeah.
Are the advisors to John McCain as they attempt to use Georgia for a paycheck. Schuneman's firm made $800,000 to ignite a Cold War inside the War on Terror. And the Democrats are silent or agreeing with McCain, and they keep saying, well, he's a respected war hero. They're giving him grounds for him to run for president on these issues when he should be tarred and feathered by people who have lost loved ones in Iraq, have been mis- misled and have had trillions of dollars go out the door that could have been spent on health care in this country. It just amazes me.
Yeah, it really is stunning. And, Tom, let's just take this moment to talk about two critical issues where I think the Democrats are flat-footed or off base. You just mentioned Georgia, and I think that's a critical one, where the Obama team really hasn't offered more than platitudes. And the other real critical issue for me is Afghanistan, where many Democrats appear to be so war-weary about Iraq, when they hear that Obama's planning to pull troops out of Iraq, and some of those will go to Afghanistan, they're willing to sit still for it. But we haven't defined the mission. It's clearly mission creep, and no outsider has successfully occupied Afghanistan. And we ought to pay attention to that before we launch another police action, which is a misfit for our uniformed military.
You're perfectly right. Afghanistan is likely to be Barack Obama's next quagmire or even his Bay of Pigs. Sending 10,000 troops there from Iraq instead of bringing them home is not a measure of serious military ambition, to put it mildly. I think McCain upped him to 15,000. But I think what they're talking about there is protecting a quagmire against complete collapse between now and January. During that time, we have to pressure whoever is the president, whoever's in the Senate or House, to reconsider multiplying the quagmires. But Georgia is likely to ignite a firestorm of tension between Russia, Poland, Russia, Ukraine, Russia, Europe, and bring back the Cold War that apparently many neoconservatives were fond of. We should be asking them, hey, guys, you said that Ronald Reagan won the Cold War. Well, how come Russia is all over Georgia? It's all a fraud. It's all manufactured to mesmerize Americans to lose their tax money, lose their senses, and never get around to dealing with this country's internal domestic problems like health care. And it works. It's the same as law enforcement. You always hear more about the war on gangs, the war on drugs, the war on crime. We have more people in prison in California than anywhere. This country has more people in prison than anywhere in the world. And we still have inner city problems, violence, crime. There's no connection between the policing philosophy and the reality, except it's perfect politics from Los Angeles, South Central, to Iraq, to Georgia. It's one issue.
Tom Hayden, do you watch The Daily Show very often?
No.
Well, last week, Jon Stewart nailed it, and once again, he, you know, has put pieces together that the corporate media just doesn't get around to.
Good for him.
And in this case, he had Bush and Rice lecturing Russia and Putin about occupying a sovereign nation. Invading and occupying a sovereign nation. Now, you know, Bush can only claim that we touched base with the United Nations before we unilaterally chose to invade Iraq. But do we have any moral authority whatsoever? And do these people have any self-consciousness about offering these kinds of lectures? Rice saying, this is not 1968. You can't just invade a country and occupy it.
Well, it's a good question. I don't know if they're out of touch with reality or they're caught up in trying to win a presidential campaign. It is pathetic, but what's more worrisome is, aside from Jon Stewart, how so many people succumb to fear or give up because they're unaware of what's going on or because they haven't heard anything from the Democrats to the contrary, because the Democrats are afraid of appearing soft on national security. It's a perfect political formula. You can say, as liberals often do, that Bush and these people are fools, but they're not. They are smart politicians. They are using a tried and true formula. whether it's Willie Horton at home or Osama bin Laden abroad, they'll take a legitimate issue, dangerous violence, and they'll turn it into a formula for building a garrison state, biggest prison system in the world. Nothing happens, and they say, well, we need to do more because we're still not safe. No other country in the world even has a conversation like this. I guess they can't afford to. But apparently, there's no end to money for policing at home and wars abroad.
Tom Hayden's with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show, here to the bottom of the hour. If you want to call in, toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B. And let me mention a few of Tom Hayden's recent books. Writings for a Democratic Society, the Tom Hayden Reader, was published earlier this year. He wrote Ending the War in Iraq in 2007. And Voices of the Chicago Eight, A Generation on Trial, has been published by City Lights Open Media just in the last few weeks as a paperback. And, Tom, let's just take a minute here to reminisce a little bit about where you were 40 years ago and the impact of the efforts of you and other protesters at the Chicago Convention of the Democrats in 1968.
Well, 40 years ago, I was 28 years old. Let's start there. I think the point about Chicago is stretched a little bit just because it's the 40th anniversary. If it was the 41st, we would have less attention to this. But things are somewhat different. In those days, the Democratic Party, led by Johnson and locally by Mayor Daley, denied us permits for protests and cultural opposition to the war and what was going on, and we marched anyway, thinking we had a moral permit that they couldn't just suspend the Constitution. And a commission looked at it later and said it was a police riot, which meant there was an intentional effort to drive people off the streets. Surprisingly, even on television, you know, in broad daylight, under television cameras, 60 reporters were beaten up, slugged in the stomach like Dan Rather, gassed. It was incredible. And at the end of it, the Democratic Party was in more shambles than it had been, even though very honorable wing of the party marched out of the convention and into the streets to protest with us. I remember even Eugene McCarthy the next morning standing, giving a talk to us in the park. He was standing on an upside-down garbage can, trash can, in memory of the death of Martin Luther King in the garbage strike
in Memphis.
Movement earlier that year. And It was quite a week. It's very hard to convey the realities then. We sound, in retrospect, extreme, but it was an extreme situation. Here, you know, you have Barack Obama, who got his boost for the presidency out of opposing the Iraq War, and a pretty united Democratic Party going after the Republicans, who are the primary enemy, the primary group responsible for the war that we have, the Supreme Court that we have, and the rest of it. So I don't think that they're exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Tom Hayden's with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to take a break and return in just a moment. You can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. Starting in Salinas, new accident, Davis Road at Lemus Avenue. Two cars, and they are both off to the right-hand shoulder. In Carmel Valley, West Carmel Valley Road at Lorelis Grade Road, an injury crash. Septic tank truck went off the roadway and slammed into a tree. Emergency crews on the way out to that. And for the Pacheco Pass, eastbound 152 after Casa de Fruta Parkway, an injury crash. Looks like a van and a big rig mixed it up. They've been cleared into the center divide. We did have lanes blocked on both sides of the roadway at one point. CHP on the scene. Look for heavy traffic both directions of 152 as you approach the scene. This is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I just got word during the break that Rachel Maddow has been announced as a new host of her own program on MSNBC. It starts on September the 8th. Congratulations to Rachel. I think that she is a fine radio and television artist, and I will never forget the night of the Senate vote that sold out our Fourth Amendment rights under the FISA amendments. She was so strong. There she was as a fill-in host for Keith Olbermann, and she didn't pull any punches or hold back, and the exchange she did with Jonathan Turley was quite memorable and really very powerful. So kudos to Rachel, and that's just a little bit more liberalism in the media, and we can certainly use it. Tom Hayden is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're joined by Andreas from Humboldt County. Bring up the faders there, Nick, on both phone lines there. Andreas, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with former Senator Hayden.
Thank you, Peter, and thank you, Senator Hayden, for being on the show. I just wanted to know, I've been hearing a lot of things about how well the war over there in Iraq's going and casualties are down. fighting is not, you know, is as bad as it was.
John McCain says victory is right around the corner, Andreas.
Yeah, but what I understand is that we are actually paying some of the insurgents or, you know, Sunnis or Shias, I'm not exactly sure which one it was, but...
mostly Sunnis.
Yeah, to not fight. I mean, you know...
yeah, it's hush money.
Yeah, I heard you mentioned a little earlier about, you know, the... problems with, you know, gang violence and things like that in our country. You know, why can't we put those people, you know, give them some kind of job training or do something to keep them from, you know, having to, you know, do whatever they do to make money, you know, maybe sell drugs or you know, whatever reason they're fighting amongst each other. Maybe find a way to solve the problem instead of sending this money out of our country to, you know, supposedly, you know, give freedom to these other people, you know. Yeah, take care of the problems that we have here first.
Well, let's hold on a second, Andreas, because Tom Hayden has been very thoughtful about crime and gang problems in our country. He knows a lot about this. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, thanks, Andreas. I agree with you, and I think that's the path not taken. That's the path we have to go down someday. Instead, Paul Wolfowitz, at the beginning of the war, actually called on security advisors to give models of how to from the war on gangs here to be employed in a knocking down the doors and rounding people up over there. And quite a number... tragically enough, of gang members and former gang members have been recruited into the military as the manpower shortages have increased. So there are a lot of parallels. I do think that the situation is complicated, but if you boil it down, you'd say that one powerful insurgency against the U.S. came from the Sunnis, who were displaced by the government we put in office when Saddam was overthrown. The new government was mainly Shia and Kurdish. And so the Sunnis began a resistance. Those are the people who are, in effect, being paid off, being paid not to fight, but being paid to kind of patrol their own communities. And they're complaining about what will happen to their paychecks and to their job security as a minority over there. Secondly, there is a larger insurgency on and off from the group called the Mahdi Army, which is a more lower class constituency led by Muqtada al-Sadr. And that's the number one enemy, I think, for the United States now that the Sunnis are on the payroll, so to speak. And you can expect big fighting there or something. And essentially, we're retaining in power the Shia faction that we brought to power in 2003, and they were harbored and trained by Iran. So, if you want to look at it as strangely as possible, we've put in power a group of Iraqis who are aligned with Iran. At the same time, we claim to be having a bilateral fight. Maybe a violent fight with Iran. So,
let me jump in, Tom, because time is tight.
McCain is on shaky ground claiming a victory here.
Yeah. Andreas, I want to recommend Tom Hayden's book, Street Wars. I think you'd find out a lot about crime in America. And, Tom, just a few seconds remaining. Will you be in Denver next week?
Yes, I'm going to go Saturday, not as a delegate, but as an observer, and I'll be speaking at a few forums sponsored by The Nation magazine and Progressive Democrats of America. My new books by City Lights will be coming out, and I hope to see everybody there.
All right, Tom, we'll be there on Radio Row. If there's a way to connect, I'd love to have you on with our live broadcast from Denver next week.
If traffic and police allow, I'll be there.
And I hope you're not in the free speed zone 8 miles away from
I'm
the convention.
I'm not going in the cage, no.
Okay. Tom Hayden.
All right, Peter, bye.
Thank you very much. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Ready for their close-ups. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. With the conventions about to convene, commentators are reminding us again that Denver and St. Paul will be little more than TV shows, which is not fair to TV shows. Most TV shows have at least some suspense. But in fact, they are not just TV shows, because this is not just about entertainment. This is about creating the most powerful man in the world. This is about convincing you that a man you never met is worthy of your trust and even your obedience. What a convention really is a week-long worship service. The believers gather to hear the opening speeches, which state their creed, the fundamental beliefs they hold in common. They will then hear from the also-rans, the candidates who campaigned for a while but then stepped aside, and the crowd will cheer for these leaders who prepared the way but who were not themselves the way. There will be ritual chanting, and like any worship service, references to the devil, the menace that everyone is there to defeat. In the Democrats' case, that'll be Bush, Cheney, and Halliburton. In the Republicans' case, that will be all liberals and people who operate street puppets. And finally, the anointing. On Holy Thursday, after a video showing his humble roots, his bravery, his accomplishments, and his vision, the nominee himself mounts the stage to be consecrated as the man who can save us all from whatever we need saving from. And then, just like with real religions, once the other party has consecrated a competing savior, both sides can get down to the business at hand, tearing each other apart on the way to heaven. Now this.
Somewhere in the frozen Montana wilderness, there's a stranger who rescues accident victims. Female accident victims. He saves their lives, heals their injuries, nurtures them back to health, then slowly, mercilessly, leaves them to die.
Left to Die. From New York Times bestselling author Lisa Jackson comes her most twisted serial killer yet. Left to Die by Lisa Jackson. On sale now.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic health care approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 34 minutes into the hour. In just a moment, we'll connect up with Jason Leopold from the Public Record. That's the new nonprofit journalism website on the web at pubrecord.org. And coming up next hour, Melanie Sloan will kick off our free speech zone today. There is a new complaint against Vern Buchanan. And if his name rings a bell, it's because we've talked about him with Brad Friedman in our election protection segments on Friday. He's the guy who came away the victor in the contested election in Florida, in Sarasota, that had 17,000 missing votes. I'll tell you what, Nick, let's just put him on hold and see if we can hear him on the air. And we'll dial him back if we have a bad connection. We just had a little glitch here as we attempt to connect up with Jason Leopold. And let's see how it's sounding there. Go ahead and bring that up on the telos there. Jason, how are you doing today? Oh, Jason, your phone's busting up like crazy. We'll call you back on your cell phone in just a minute, okay? Yeah. So you're right, Nick. Nick Tanum is on the board today. So go over to the computer and get Jason's cell phone number, and then we'll call him back on that here in just a second or two. Because we were getting hash off of his cordless phone there. At any rate, Melanie Sloan will update us on Vern Buchanan. Christine Jennings was the Democrat who nominally lost to Buchanan in Sarasota in 2006. And as I mentioned, there were 17,000 electronic votes that just, poof, disappeared from precincts that were likely to favor Vern Buchanan's opponent. And the House Administration Committee, run by Democrats, really turned a blind eye to that case. They looked into it more than some of the others, like the Clint Curtis case from Florida. But, you know, it was really disappointing that the Democrats evidenced so little interest in trying to correct election malfeasance and what I consider to be election fraud. So we'll talk about that with Melanie, and also Senator Ted Stevens is using various legal challenges to try to wriggle out of the fraud case that has been brought against him. It's actually a case of not reporting unauthorized income, just to be fair about that. So, Nick, go ahead and punch Jason up on the other, on the Gintner there underneath the console. And we will talk to our intrepid investigative reporter. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Peter. Can you hear me okay now?
Yes, we certainly can.
Excellent.
Nice to talk with you today.
Good to be with you.
And just before you joined us, I got word about 10 minutes ago that MSNBC has announced that Rachel Maddow will be hosting her own show starting September 8th. Can you believe that? The liberal media actually exists a little bit here and there.
Wow, it's a remarkable day. The planets are aligning.
Yeah, indeed. So, Jason, you've been doing some more great reporting. And I want to talk a little bit about Randy Schoeneman here. You wrote a piece that's up at pubrecord.org dated Monday, August 18th. And Tom Hayden was with us just in the preceding segment. And he was echoing the concerns about having this man who is only on leave from his firm as a lobbyist, a firm that has received $750,000 or $800,000 to lobby in Washington on behalf of the Saakashvili government in Georgia. And this is something that doesn't seem to bother John McCain. He has
In fact, he actually said that he was perfectly okay with it. In an interview with USA Today over the weekend, he said that he supports it, he's absolutely fine. And he criticized Barack Obama and you know, others who have questioned him about Schoeneman's work on behalf of the Georgian government.
And so how does he feel that Mr. Straight Talk, Mr. Maverick, the guy who claimed that lobbyists had been booted off his campaign, you know, he is surrounded by lobbyists, and I want to recommend to people, I keep this up on my computer homepage all the time, at mediamattersaction.org/freeride/lobbyists. Paul Waldman and David Brock have put together a very graphic chart that shows the lobbyist connections of the people surrounding John McCain. And so you click, you roll your mouse over Rick Davis, and you get founder and managing partner on leave of Davis Manafort. The clients include Verizon and SBC. And let's just see if, here's Nancy Fotenauer. She always shows up on television as a McCain spokesperson. Former Washington director and lobbyist for Cook Industries. Those are some billionaire brothers from, I think, Kansas or somewhere out there in the Great Plains. But this little chart is very interesting because McCain is surrounded by lobbyists for virtually every issue and every industry that is regulated by our government.
Yeah, you know, the thing about what's troubling about the lobbyists who work for McCain, or I should say what's really troubling is the fact that, you know, McCain went out there, issued these, statements during the course of the campaign. He won't have any lobbyists working with him. And everyone in the media, for the most part, just ate it up. You know, there's definitely been some good exposure in terms of the doublespeak and the blatant contradiction. But what's truly, truly remarkable is how some of these lobbyists, many of them were instrumental in crafting the disastrous Iraq war policy and, you know, then were to profit from, after the invasion. That's exactly what Randy Scheuneman has done. He and James Woolsey, who, by the way, is, you know, the former CIA director, who's also a lobbyist, who is also an advisor, believe it or not, an energy advisor to the McCain campaign. And, while the issue of, receiving $750,000 from the Georgian government is troubling, what's really, to me, what I see as the bigger issue is the fact that, here are some people who went out there, designed this Iraq war policy, set up these nonprofit groups, and pushed the administration to launch a preemptive strike. Then, after the fact, started lobbying on behalf of Soviet bloc countries to win reconstruction contracts. The Iraq war was a disaster. McCain continues to sit out there and speak as an authority on the issue, and he's getting advice from people who, like Randy Scheuneman, who really should be taken to task and criticized, what he proposed and what the administration ultimately followed through with.
Well, and as you point out in your article, the Financial Times reported that the Committee for the Liberation of Iraq was the brainchild of the Bush administration, inspired by a lobbying committee designed to sway U.S. public and political opinion in favor of expanding the NATO alliance.
It obviously connects to the Georgian issue as well.
Well, and we can also look at the flip side of that, because you point out that Scheuneman was an early supporter of Chalabi. Ahmed Chalabi was the guy who was getting $320,000 a month out of the Rumsfeld Pentagon for this phony Iraqi National Congress, which was a fiction created in Washington. And these groups were the kind of astroturf used to make it look like there was grassroots support for the preordained decision. As we know from the Downing Street memo, the plan was in place, and then they fixed the intelligence around it.
Right. Right. So when you have McCain, when McCain is out there speaking before the Veterans for Foreign Wars in, I believe it was Florida, and he's criticizing Barack Obama regarding being opposed to the surge, and just speaking about, Iraq as if it's this, great success story. Let's remember, he's getting the advice from his top foreign policy advisor, Randy Scheuneman, who, worked hand in hand with the Bush administration. He worked with Donald Rumsfeld. He worked with the White House. He's a hardcore neoconservative. This is the guy who's giving McCain advice. This is what a McCain administration will look like. While McCain is out there saying, I'm not George W. Bush, and tries to set himself apart. I have to tell you, Peter, I think he's worse. I think that the policies that McCain has, the foreign policies, are worse than this administration, because he has aligned himself with some serious neoconservatives who really do see, additional wars. in the Middle East.
And what you just said is quite accurate and hard to fathom.
that anybody
could be worse than Bush.
But when you take a real hard look at, particularly foreign policy, which is going to dominate, whatever administration gets in next year, because we still have the, situation in Iraq and there's still, things happening with Iran. I mean, these individuals do not support any sort of diplomatic, solution.
Mm-hmm.
What they are strong backers of, the 1% doctrine that Vice President Dick Cheney had spoken about. That's how they see it. This is part of their, perfect, remaking the Middle East, and that's ultimately what they're promoting. So, again, this is who is advising McCain. He has, aligned himself with the same people who were, many of them, who were part of a project for the new American century, signatories on that letter. I mean, William Crystal is part of, has been a quote unpaid advisor. By the way, as I mentioned in the story here, the same day that President Bush gave that State of the Union address where he cited the now bogus 16 words about Iraq's attempt to obtain yellowcake uranium, Randy Scheuneman and his Committee for the Liberation of Iraq named McCain. That was in 2003, by the way, January 28th, 2003, named McCain and Joe Lieberman, co-chairman of that group.
And wasn't there a third senator named Evan Bayh from Indiana?
I was just going to say that's what's funny. Evan Bayh was also, part of that. So, really have to pay very close attention here. Remember that this is a game of politics, even when it comes to Barack Obama, and he clearly is the better choice between the two. But this whole notion that, the John McCain of 2000 wouldn't have voted for the John McCain of 2008, that's a crock, Peter, because this is the same guy, who had been lobbying for a war, went right out after 9/11 and talked about, preemptive strike. This John McCain is no different, than the John McCain of 2000. We just happen to hear and see more of him today.
Well, Jason, when we come back from the break, I just want to ask you a little bit about Obama and his advisors, and
sure.
If you've found any lobbyist types who are actively advising him. So far, I'm not aware of any. Madeleine Albright kind of comes the closest. And I also want to talk to you about the story you posted recently about Halliburton and that pesky Iraqi oil. Jason Leopold is with us. You can read his work at the new nonprofit journalism site called The Public Record. It's on the web at www.pubrecord.org. That's pubrecord.org. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. Starting in Salinas, new accident, Davis Road at Lemus Avenue. Two cars, and they are both off to the right-hand shoulder. In Carmel Valley, West Carmel Valley Road at Lorelis Grade Road, an injury crash. Septic tank truck went off the roadway and slammed into a tree. Emergency crews on the way out to that. And for the Pacheco Pass, eastbound 152 after Casa de Fruta Parkway, an injury crash. Looks like a van and a big rig mixed it up. They've been cleared into the center divide. We did have lanes blocked on both sides of the roadway at one point. CHP on the scene. Look for heavy traffic both directions of 152 as you approach the scene. This is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. Jason Leopold, my guest. Investigative reporter with the Public Record, that's pubrecord.org, and he previously worked for Dow Jones, for the Los Angeles Times, and truthout.org. And by the way, he's got a memoir called News Junkie. That's a great read if you have a chance to pick it up. Jason, the question I posed before the break,
yeah.
Does Barack Obama have any lobbyists with the heavy conflict of interest that we see in John McCain's Randy Scheuneman?
No, not anywhere close. And I pretty much spent many hours, going through his list mm-hmm. of people. The one thing that I have found, though, that is somewhat of a cause of concern is that, you know, he has it really hasn't gotten that much play. Is that he's a very big supporter of nuclear. You know, reviving the nuclear energy industry, and has taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from the nuclear energy lobby, the industry itself, various companies, and to promote that. So, it's pretty clear that he said that he supports that, but he supports it to an extent where. You know, we got to figure out what to do with the waste.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only troubling, issue I found.
I did reference Madeleine Albright, who was UN ambassador and
right.
then Secretary of State during the Clinton era. She has taken on contracts that either are in partnership with James Baker, or sometimes they just kind of do a sidestep thing with Kuwait and Saudi Arabia and a number
sure.
of other Middle Eastern countries. And while I don't believe that she, number one, has the same conflicts of interest, I just think it's important to point out that there are Democrats who play this same kind of revolving door game and then leave a high-powered post like Secretary of State and
right.
then end up as a consultant to a repressive regime like Saudi Arabia or Kuwait.
Sure. Look, it's a lucrative deal for them. First of all, they get they got the connections. They get they can become filthy rich. Simply as a result of using those connections. So, sure, I think that there's many of them that are out there and will continue to be out there, and it is troubling. And that's why I say that when it comes to specifically foreign policy, you got to really pay close attention, to what's being said and sort of you know, vet that and, you know, try to look underneath, you know, read between the lines to see if there's, you know, other interests at play there.
Well, and I've been critical of Obama for his proposal to just put more troops into Afghanistan without a clear mission and without understanding what the impact could be. And I just hope that he's not listening to Zbigniew Brzezinski, because he was the guy who advised Jimmy Carter to support the Mujahideen, which was then being run by Osama bin Laden, the resistance to the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan. And fool me once, well, we know how that one goes. Jason, I wanted to turn to an article you posted on August 15th at pubrecord.org. It'll shock a lot of our listeners that oil was a factor in our decision to invade Iraq.
You know, it's really funny, Peter. When I, back in, you know, even before the U.S. invasion, you started to take a look at what role oil played in this. And, you know, certainly, you know, there seemed to be a little bit of evidence here and there, but it was still dismissed as conspiracy theory. But I got my hand on some, you know, recently, some Halliburton officials, executives that have since left the company, you know, have sent me over some emails and deal memos that were pretty interesting in terms of the date. You know, this was back in 2002. They were already working with the Army Corps of Engineers on you know, basically to fix and repair Iraqi oil fields. You know, this was a contract that they were being given, or a deal that appears that they were being given, you know, way before the you know, the invasion happened. And, you know, during a time when, you know, the administration was out there saying publicly, you know, we'll let the inspectors do their job. So oil was a really big role. And it was, you know, it was clear that one of the first things they wanted to do was not preserve any of the, you know, the artifacts, but control the oil field. Make sure that there is not a repeat of what happened during the first Gulf War, when some oil fields were lit up or things like that. So that was the very first goal. And it's interesting that, you know, some of the names that popped up in these documents, Paul Wolfowitz. Wolfowitz, you know, was meeting with the Army Corps of Engineers, some officials there, and said that that should be the number one goal. We have to secure those oil fields. We need that oil. So, you know, when Wolfowitz was talking about how oil would pay for the war, you know, you start to look back at what he was talking about. You know, it starts to make sense that, you know, we were going to control that oil. And, you know, with Halliburton, you know, again, what came up was in these documents, the, you know, the fact that the that Dick Cheney was CEO did play a factor in here. You know, did play a big part of it. And we still haven't really had any hearings or discussions into that. But it's something I think that when this administration leaves, it'll start to be more and more documents. I actually just put out a Freedom of Information Act request to the Army Corps of Engineers to try and get a hold of additional documents that I was told would really, you know, expose, you know, more detail, or would provide more details about the role oil played here.
Mm-hmm. And Jason, there are a couple of woo-woo things here. This happened. This deal was cut with KBR, the Halliburton subsidiary, five months before we actually launched the invasion. That was the time when Bush was saying, "I've got no war plans on my desk. They're in the file cabinet behind the desk."
By the way, let me just add also that this is a really important point. This, you know, I went back and I looked at the financials, and I you know, do a pretty good job reading SEC filings, Securities and Exchange Commission filings, and that was Halliburton was on the brink of bankruptcy before all this deal is about to happen.
Yeah, so the Iraq war saved Halliburton's stock, and Dick Cheney's still sitting on a big pile of it. Thank you very much, Jason. Will we see you in Denver next week?
You know, I'm going to be home changing diapers.
Okay.
But you can rest assured I will be, you know, ear to the ground.
Jason Leopold on The Peter B. Show.
Hi, it's Peter B. Urging you to check out a new website, MendingAmerica.com, dedicated to mending the damage done to our American fabric by 8 years of George W. Bush. It looks like another T-shirt site, and it is. But look deeper. Read the stories represented in the T-shirts. Hear the message of hope that our fabric can be restored, and we can once more take pride in America. Mending America believes the mending must start with the American people. We must reconnect with the values and the courage that founded this country. Join in by clicking the words opening question at the top of the homepage and email your thoughts. Support this effort by buying the T-shirts and bumper stickers. Better yet, buy the note cards and send the word to Congress, the media, and your friends. America is on the mend, and a bright future lies before us. Use the promo code Peter B in lowercase at MendingAmerica.com and get a 15% discount. That's MendingAmerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Faye isn't done with Florida.
Looks like it could be a boomerang storm.
Governor Charlie Crist says Tropical Storm Faye, which hit the southwest coast near Naples this morning, is expected to become a hurricane when it moves over the Atlantic Ocean.
I'm Drew Levinson in Cocoa Beach, where the rain and the wind continue to pound this area. Tropical Storm Faye, instead of losing strength, is gaining strength as it moves across the state of Florida. People have taken cover as this strong tropical storm continues to increase in speed, and now forecasters are saying it will be a hurricane when it hits the Atlantic Ocean and then turns and then heads for the Jacksonville, Florida area.
Right now, Faye has top winds of 65 miles per hour. Barack Obama's announcement on a running mate is expected in the next few days. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the latest.
Mark Ambinder, chief political consultant here at CBS News, has learned that Obama's plan is to reveal the name to his supporters by email and text message, then Saturday to appear with his running mate outdoors in Springfield, Illinois.
I am told that Senator Obama knows who he's going to pick. He just hasn't informed that person that he's made the pick yet.
Meantime, John McCain's expected to name his running mate a week from Friday. Dan Revive, CBS News.
With Russian forces still operating in Georgia, NATO held an emergency meeting in Brussels today, and that's where CBS News chief foreign affairs correspondent Lara Logan talked to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
Time is up. The Russian president needs to keep his word.
They're continuing, and nobody seems able to make them stop.
Well, there is an expression that when you are in a hole, you should stop digging. And I think that expression would be completely appropriate for the Russians right now. Russia is very clearly isolating itself. It's becoming more and more the outlaw.
Russia says its forces in Georgia will pull back to the ceasefire lines by Friday. Baseball Hall of Famer Carl Yastrzemski went to a Boston hospital today complaining of chest pains. Now there's word that he's undergoing bypass surgery. Yastrzemski is 68. There was a lot of skepticism when two guys in Georgia claimed they'd found Bigfoot. The only evidence they produced was a grainy photo of a big hairy thing in a freezer. Turns out the skeptics were right. It was a hoax, and reporter Pete Combs tells us one of the guys has lost his job as a result.
Police officer Matt Witten is so fired. Clayton Police Chief Jeff Turner says no officer of his is going to pretend to find Bigfoot, take a big finder's fee, and then run off.
His actions were inexcusable.
Turner says he just doesn't get it. Why would a 6-year police veteran, recently shot in the line of duty, use his medical leave to perpetrate such a hoax? Be that as it may, Turner wants Witten to do just one more thing.
Return our uniforms and gun and badge into us.
Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
Wholesale prices way up in July, and then that sent stocks down. The Dow Industrials lost 130 points to close at 11,348. This is CBS News.
Mercedes-Benz is proud to introduce the new 1.99. But the new 1.99 isn't a new car or SUV, it's an APR rate. Available on select certified pre-owned E-Class vehicles at our certified pre-owned sales event. And certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz vehicles feature an extensive 155-point inspection. So you're getting a certified 1.99% APR and a certified 100% Mercedes-Benz. Stop by our CPO sales event today, and remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
1.99% APR for 36 months at $2,864 per month for $1,000 financing on 2005 and 2006 E-Class vehicles. Excludes lease and balloon contracts subject to credit approval. For qualified customers only through Mercedes-Benz Financial participating dealers through September 30th, 2008. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles. See dealer for complete program and pre-owned limited warranty details.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Check out our exciting model lineup by visiting your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer or visit us today at mbusa.com.
Riders on the Boston Transit system use the Charlie card to pay, but some smart college kids found a way to avoid paying, and now a court ruling says they can share their knowledge. WBZ Radio's Tim Tunnicliffe has the story.
The MBTA asked a judge to prevent three MIT students from releasing their work on how to get free subway rides using a Charlie ticket, but the judge denied the request. Attorney Cindy Cohen represents the three students.
It's a good day for the First Amendment, and it's a good day for security researchers and all of us that rely on the work that they do.
The students say they want to work with the MBTA to fix their vulnerability, and they have no intention of releasing information that would help others ride the subway for free. Kim Tunnicliffe, CBS News, Boston.
The Civil War ended more than 140 years ago, but a Confederate widow just died in Lexa, Arkansas. Maudie White Hopkins was 93. She was just 19 when she married an 86-year-old veteran. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity again. And if you're hearing my voice, that can mean only one thing. It's Honda clearance time. So, say it with me. Lucky you, because that means it's your chance to pick an Accord, a Civic, an Odyssey, or any other Honda you want for a deal that's very sweet. And even though this is summertime, you might want to put a little spring in your step, because I don't hang around forever. Hey, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. The 2008 Honda clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm knocking. Clearance ends September 2nd.
Hi, I'm the owner of an auto body shop, and since we added Aflac to our benefits package at no direct cost to me, all my employees say the same thing. I want
Aflac.
Since we added Aflac, my whole business is running smooth.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're launching into the free speed zone today here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments welcome. You know the rules. They're pretty sketchy. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. The lines are open for you right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
I feel so extraordinary, something inside holds on me. This feeling I'm in motion, a sudden sense of liberty. I can't cause an affair, I don't care if I hit tomorrow. I've taken too much. All the things that cost you too much. I used to think that the day would never come.
And we'll dedicate this song to embattled Senator Ted Stevens. A line in there is some about I took too much of something that means too much to you. Melanie Sloan is the sheriff there in Washington, D.C. She's the executive director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And we need more responsibility and ethics and accountability, too. Melanie, how are you today?
Well, we don't really seem to be getting the responsibility or the ethics.
Yeah. But we do have a CREW that's working hard.
That's right. We have that.
Well, we're going to get to Vern Buchanan in a couple of minutes. And by the way, he is not a stranger to my listeners, and I'll explain that. But first up, Ted Stevens, Bridge to Nowhere, the biggest pork barrel deliverer in the United States Senate. He's fighting hard against these charges of they relate to corruption, but narrowly they are failure to report gifts that he received from a company called Vico that has a lot of interest in oil and gas operations in his home state of Alaska.
That's right. Ted Stevens, as we've talked about on your show, is now indicted on 7 counts of lying on his financial disclosure forms. These are the forms every member has to fill out every year, and one of the things they have to include is any gift valued at basically over $249. And Mr. Stevens got over $200,000 worth of gifts from Vico, and amazingly, none of them are on the financial disclosure forms, including in addition to his house and a couple cars.
Mm-hmm.
So he has hired one of the very best lawyers in Washington, D.C., a man named Brendan Sullivan, who is really quite famous and I'm sure is billing Mr. Stevens appropriately. And they are throwing the kitchen sink at the judge trying to get the case dismissed, although I don't think it's going to be that successful. One of the latest filings they've made is they've moved to dismiss the indictment on speech or debate clause grounds. And this is something that your listeners should know well because I've talked about it on your show so many times. This is an issue that most Americans just don't know is even out there, but it's so critical. The speech or debate clause is part of the Constitution, and probably by now, Peter, you can even recite this, my litany on this. The speech or debate clause says that members are protected, the speech or debate from the House or mm-hmm. the Senate, from Congress, is protected and can't be used against them in criminal charges. And there's good reasons for this. It's so that the executive branch can't run unfettered over members of Congress for things they do in legislative session.
Right.
And we have seen this used a great deal recently by William Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Who you always tell me is Dollar Bill Jefferson.
That's right.
We've got waiting for you to chime in.
Well, Dollar Bill, of course, is a guy who had $90,000 in FBI-marked cash in his freezer. And then there was this Saturday night raid at the Capitol where FBI agents served warrants and gathered material from his office. And this resulted in a widespread bipartisan denunciation of the FBI investigation. And, Melanie, I still side with you on this, that, if they have probable cause and they have a warrant, maybe they shouldn't serve it on Saturday night. But I don't think that a member of the House or Senate should be able to hide in their office from legitimate law enforcement efforts.
Me neither, because neither you nor I could certainly hide our office from legitimate law enforcement with a warrant with probable cause. But after a long, convoluted court proceedings, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals held that the search of Jefferson's office was improper because law enforcement officials are not allowed to even oversee by accident speech or debate clause material.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be the view that they couldn't actually use it. So you can't use speech or debate clause material, which is things like speeches or any material from legislative sessions, any bills that a member may have introduced. You couldn't use it to get an indictment or to obtain a conviction, but the fact that you might have seen it wasn't such a problem. Well, the court has expanded this view and said even if you've seen it, it could be a problem. Well, now although that material was never introduced against Mr. Jefferson, the material from his office, there is an indictment against Mr. Jefferson, and he's moved to dismiss that indictment in the Eastern District of Virginia on speech or debate clause grounds. And that's in the Court of Appeals. It's not been decided yet.
Well, what I was going to say is the indictment of Ted Stevens doesn't relate to speeches or debates. It's that he inaccurately or willfully, incorrectly filled out this financial disclosure form.
Well, that's exactly right. And yet part of the indictment, there is paragraph 17 of the indictment, and it's on our website if any of your listeners want to go look at it. Paragraph 17 talks about all of the things that Ted Stevens did for Bill Allen in return for this money. And it talks about efforts he made to help the Alaskan oil pipeline company with a deal in Pakistan. And it talks about things he tried to do to help them in Alaska. And so Ted Stevens has said, Well, my indictment should be dismissed because in order to prove this indictment, the government is going to want to introduce evidence that is barred by the speech or debate clause. The government has filed a response saying not only is this not covered by the speech or debate clause, but we want a ruling ahead of time saying that we can introduce all this evidence of all the things that Ted Stevens was doing for Bill Allen. And by the way, here's a list of, 15 of them. And they look pretty bad. And it turns out that the federal government had a wiretap on Ted Stevens' phone. And this is probably, and Bill Allen was a cooperator. And it shows that Ted Stevens was time after time after time going out of his way to help Bill Allen with whatever Bill Allen needed. Mm-hmm. When he needed more money to train Russians in creating oil pipes in Russia, he got the money. When he wanted help with some problem in Alaska and he wanted a tax bill that was beneficial to Vico, he got Ted Stevens on the phone not only with Alaskan state legislators but with the Department of Commerce and the Department of Energy here in Washington, D.C. So now we're going to see if what Judge Emmett Sullivan decides to do, what he'll admit and what he won't.
Now, I was under the impression that Ted Stevens wanted a speedy trial so he could get this wrapped up before his hopeful reelection in November. Now, he's got to clear a primary that I think is before the end of August, so these kind of legal wranglings won't affect that. But if he survives the primary, doesn't he want a quick trial? And don't these pretrial motions delay the inevitable?
Well, he has said he wants a speedy trial, and although he does have a primary on August 26th, it doesn't look like he has any really strong opponents. It looks like his much stronger opponent is the Democratic opponent, mm-hmm. who is, I believe, the mayor of Anchorage.
You're right.
And so that's more what he's worried about, and he does want to have this trial behind him by then. But on the same token, he doesn't want to go to jail either. So he's going to file all these motions, and even if the judge dismisses them all, and so he goes to trial, Mr. Stevens, if he loses at trial and is found guilty, he'll have grounds for appeal saying, well, all this material was admitted against me in violation of the speech or debate clause.
All right. Well, keep us posted on Ted Stevens. This could be a long process here, and we'll see exactly how it comes to term. Now, I mentioned that Vern Buchanan is not a stranger to the Peter B. Collins Show. We've even got a song for it.
People say something rotten happened here on election day. The judge said, sorry, people, you can't look at what's inside. These machines are corporate secrets. This ain't the time for civic pride. If you want to be a voter, don't count on Sarasota. Because the judge here told us your vote doesn't have to count. 18,000 votes are missing. Is anybody listening? Electronic voting's in democracy.
So in 2006, Vern Buchanan was, and I'm holding up my quote fingers now, elected to Congress from Sarasota, Florida. But there were 18,000 votes that didn't survive the electronic voting machine from precincts that were likely to favor Christine Jennings, who was Buchanan's opponent. And this went to the House Administration Committee. They looked at it, but they declined to take action. And Vern Buchanan remains a Republican congressman from Florida right now. But he's in cruise sights for, tell us, Melanie.
This is a pretty serious story. Vern Buchanan owns, probably all your listeners know, but this is more news to me, he owns a bunch of car dealerships down in Florida in the Sarasota area. He's in fact apparently the fourth richest member of Congress, of the House. Mm-hmm. And while he was running for Congress in 2006, he had a bunch of his employees donate to him. But because they didn't want to donate to him all by themselves, first they were threatened with job retaliation if they didn't donate, and secondly, they were given cash in order to make those contributions. So they were reimbursed for contributing to Mr. Buchanan.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very serious no-no in campaign finance law.
And how did this come to light, Melanie?
This came to light because there are several former employees of Mr. Buchanan's from the dealerships who are suing him for all sorts of illegal action, including campaign finance law violations, but many serious employment discrimination issues, mistreatment of illegal immigrants, hiring illegal immigrants, a litany of issues. And so when some of this started coming out and we started reading about it in the Florida paper, I called a couple of the men who had filed these complaints when I read that they were talking about the campaign finance allegations. And I said, well, will you be willing to be plaintiffs in an FEC complaint? And will you give me an affidavit? And an affidavit is sworn under penalty of perjury, saying that these things happened. And so, two men, did give me those affidavits. And one of them, Carlo Bell, not only said that he was, threatened with retaliation, but he gave the $1,000, which is the only campaign contribution he's ever made, in return for $1,000 in cash. And in fact, he also has a deposit slip showing he deposited $960 in cash. He said he kept $40 for walking around money. So we have all of this evidence, and he's sworn under penalty of perjury that this happened. And so two other, and he is able to point to several other men who he said also took the cash in return for, in response to the threats. And so now it's before the FEC, which will no doubt take this very seriously, because making what we call conduit contributions, which is reimbursing people for their contributions, is a criminal violation, one of the few criminal violations of campaign finance law. So this could ultimately be referred to the Department of Justice for prosecution.
Well, and the FEC is finally open for business again. They have a quorum, and so maybe in a year and a half they might do something?
Yes. As I've told many, many a reporter today, don't be expecting to see this wound up before the election this fall. As you know, it takes 9 months to a year, but I believe the FEC will at least investigate and will get to the bottom of this eventually.
Melanie Sloan from CREW. Go to the website, citizensforethics.org. Thank you, Melanie. We're going to go to your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone next on the Peter B. Collins Show. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Mm-hmm. Checking traffic on KRXA. We do have some problems. 152. The first one, 152 at 156. A two-car fender bender off to the side. CHP is on the scene. An older crash, Pacheco Pass, 152 eastbound after Casa de Fruta Parkway. Van and a big rig cleared out of the lanes. They're still waiting for a couple of tow trucks to arrive there. Carmel Valley Road at Laurelis Grade Road in a major injury crash. Septic tank truck went off the roadway and hit a tree. At one point, the driver was trapped in that vehicle. Medical helicopter arrived. The driver's been taken away. And finally, up in Felton, East Zianti Road at Mount Hermon Road, a U-Haul truck broken down, and that blocks the roadway. This is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. Toyota owners, with the high cost of gas, it makes more sense than ever to keep your Toyota properly tuned to factory specs by trusting your Toyota to your genuine Toyota service center. If you spot a traffic problem, definitely give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Show.
And it's no big surprise.
Sing it, Gwen. Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're taking your calls now in the free speed zone. Grab a line. Let me know what's on your mind. Don't wait till the end of the hour. That's when you get frustrated because you don't get on the air. 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. A week from today, we'll be beaming to you live from Denver at the Democratic National Convention. And our live remote broadcasts are underwritten in a major part by listeners to the Peter B. Collins Show. And if you can help, I'd appreciate it. Go to my website and click on the link, You Can Help, right at the top of the page. Like to hear your comments on issues in the news, so dial in right now. Zed's on the line from Napa. Hello, Zed.
Zed?
Ed. Oh, it said Zed.
Ed from Aptos.
Oh, okay.
I've got broken teeth, so I'm not speaking too distinctly these days.
I got Zed from Napa.
Whatever.
Hello, Captain. How are you?
Pretty good. This is a repeat of something that was on Tom Hartman today, and I looked up. It's a website. It's called Vietnam Veterans Against John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've looked at the website or not. But
I haven't.
Basically, I think it's being driven by the guys that were interested in the MIA and the ones that weren't repatriated, ones I think are still...
I did get a press release from a FLAC about this yesterday, so I'm generally aware. It's VietnamVetsAgainstJohnMcCain.com?
Yes, and it seems to be spearheaded by these people. And it seems that in 1992 that the House of Representatives voted 401 to support the people looking for the MIAs, missing in actions, mm-hmm. from the Vietnam.
Right.
And that single-handedly, McCain squashed it in the Senate. He kept it from getting out of committee, evidently.
Mm-hmm.
And so these people aren't too happy with John McCain. It's, you know, it all goes to his strong veteran support.
Right. Yeah. Well, I have mixed feelings about it because these do appear to be Republican Swift voters, and even when it benefits, my interests.
Well, I wouldn't call them Swift voters. I'd call them truth tellers. I mean, they're getting in and they're looking at his record. No, we're just saying, oh, he was in the Hawaii Hilton for 5 years. He's a good old boy. Well, you know, he didn't cover himself with glory in the Hanoi Hilton. They've got all these records. He sung like a bird after they broke him. And then, you know, he has the temerity to vote against torture. I mean, support of the anti-torture bill.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was broken in Vietnam. They broke him down and they have things. What's interesting is that some of those things that he sung about and his transcript or stuff are now top secret.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
Know, that.
And he's also having trouble keeping his story straight because in the Rick Warren interview last Saturday, he cited a story about a guard at Hanoi who had drawn a cross in the dirt around Christmas time. And this story seems to be either apocryphal or heavily borrowed from Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Correct. Maybe that's one thing his memory didn't pay on.
Yeah, yeah.
One other thing, they just, I didn't look at it, but they bring up the idea of the movie, The Manchurian Candidate. You know, he was in their hands for 5.5 years. How mm-hmm. much messing with his mind did they do?
Yeah. All right, Ed, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
That's Ed in Aptos. Your call can be next, 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Our lives are the way they are because we insist upon ignoring one of the deepest truths that has ever been given to us. Hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love dispels hate. These are the words of Buddha from the Dhammapada. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how honored I am to be with you on Saturday and Sunday mornings here on KRXA 540 AM. At 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to offer to you the alternative to hate and maybe help you understand the ebb and flow of love and exactly what love can be and do for a person like you and me. The peace we seek in this world is not through politics, religion, or philosophy. It is found in those moments of deep and profound silence where we recognize the truth that hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love can dispel hate. Come and join me, won't you?
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
You're listening to the greatest talk radio station on the planet, KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Most mattress commercials feature a laundry list of brands the stores carry. You've heard the familiar names, and they count on that. So no matter what new model is introduced, no matter how good or inferior the components in that model, you'll still relate to the brand. SC41 Furniture carries its own brand, and we think that's good. Because we want you to judge our mattress on its quality and comfort, not just the name. At our store, you can see everything that goes into our mattresses. The durable slat suspension we adjust to each person, the high-grade carbon steel coils that hold their tension and deliver excellent support, latex cushioning made with air-circulating channels and free of all harmful chemicals, ultra-clean wool lining, and stretch cotton mattress covers that feel soft next to your body. You'll find this unique mattress made with only the highest quality components at one place, SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue, right off Highway 1, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz, on the web at sc41.com.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Friar Tuck's Restaurant in Carmel, corner of 5th and Dolores and next to the post office, serves outstanding breakfast and lunch from 7 a.m. Get a full 20% off coupon at FriarTucksRestaurant.com. Come in early for the largest breakfast served in Carmel. Stay late and enjoy the best root beer float I ever had. Thank you, Friar Tux, for 30 years of family enjoyment. Friar Tux, great food, great fun.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open for you in the free speed zone. Pick up that fancy iPhone and call me. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And hey, Pakistan threatens to impeach Pervez Musharraf and he resigns a couple of days later. How is that lost on Nancy Pelosi, huh? Minutes into the hour here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Again, lines available at 888-5-PETER-B. And some interesting verbal trades between Obama and McCain on Monday. McCain in front of that very tough audience at the Veterans of Foreign Wars Convention in Orlando criticized Obama's shifting positions on the troop reinforcements or the surge in Iraq, and said that when his rival voted against financing the troops in a single vote in 2007, he tried to legislate failure. Quote from McCain, "This was back when supporting America's efforts in Iraq entailed serious political risk. It was a clarifying moment. It was a moment when political self-interest and the national interest parted ways. Both candidates in this election pledged to end this war and bring our troops." They do? McCain said that? Wait a minute. Got to check this a little further. This is the New York Times Tuesday edition. This is breathtaking. McCain is now pledging to end the war and bring our troops home. Quote, "Both candidates in this election pledge to end this war and bring our troops home. The great difference is that I intend to win it first." Now, Johnny McCain, what the hell do you mean? What is winning in Iraq? How do you define that? Because the suicide bombings, the car bombings continue. The Shiites are now attacking the Sunnis who we paid off to pacify them over the last 2 years so that we could claim that things are getting better in Iraq. We know that's a short-term fix, but Bush won't level with the American people and say that. So John McCain pledges to bring our troops home. What kind of spin is that? And what do you think he means when he says we're going to win it first? Now, Obama had a pretty good response. He was in Albuquerque. Didn't directly respond to McCain. But he criticized McCain as supporting a war of choice that had cost $1 trillion and thousands of lives but not made the nation safer. A quote from Obama. "Our troops have performed magnificently and violence is genuinely down. But listen, if you drive a bus into a ditch, and then after 5 years and $1 trillion and 4,000 lives lost, you're getting the bus halfway out of the ditch, it doesn't mean you made a good decision driving the bus off the road in the first place." So let me know what you think about that, as the candidates really are starting to take the gloves off. And from my point of view, I'm glad to see Obama being more direct and more explicit in his criticism of McCain. And I hope that he'll step that up even more at and after the convention in Denver next week. 888-5-PETER-B. Harvey's on the line from Berkeley this afternoon. Hi, Harvey.
Hi, Peter, and I appreciate you and your great show.
Thank you, sir.
And as everybody knows, California is suffering from freshwater resources, and as our snowpacks on our mountaintops diminish due to global warming, because of the burning of fossil fuels.
Yeah.
And turns out that it takes 1 to 2 gallons of water to process 1 gallon of crude oil. And I find out all this information either in Wikipedia or Google. I Google these things and do all the research before I call you.
You're a Google head.
I am, and because I feel like, and that's where people can go to check out what I'm saying.
Okay.
Just as I found it.
Mm-hmm.
And the average car fills up about once a week and uses 15 gallons per fill up. So that's 52 weeks a year times 15 gallons. That's 780 gallons of gasoline a car uses per year, but it's also 780 gallons of water. And I went to Wikipedia and turns out that there's 250 million registered vehicles in America today. And so I would say that's 780 gallons of water times 250 million vehicles. You know, I tried to calculate that with my calculator, and it wouldn't reach a number that high.
All right, Harvey, you keep talking. I'm going to my solar powered calculator is just across the desk here. I'll go get it.
Okay.
And you keep talking.
Okay. So so that's hundreds of billions of gallons of water, and refineries are huge users of water. Meanwhile, solar electric roof shingles and solar electric roof panels use no water in the production of clean, renewable electricity. And I believe it's time to build a solar electric infrastructure and plug our electric cars into the sun. I'm talking about abundance here. It's like we're held hostage. We're always told we're always running out of energy and we've got to go war over energy. And meanwhile, up above, here in California, there's beautiful sunlight. We have this wonderful technology that's clean, that's abundant, and I think that it's time we turn to it and not be fooled anymore by these people who always held us hostage. We're held energy hostages.
All right, Harvey, now I got my solar power calculator here. No fossil fuels will be used to make this multiplication. So I got 250. We'll add the million later.
Okay, it's 250 million cars.
Yeah, 250 times.
Times 780 gallons of water.
780 gallons.
Water per
so that's 195,000, and then we have to add six zeros to that. So that's 195 billion
there you go.
Gallons.
That's a lot of water.
Yeah.
And since we have the technology to replace it, I say that we move to a clean technology. Not only would we'd save our precious water resources, but we clean up the air, the water, the soil. We'd be less vulnerable to the various diseases that we get.
Now, Harvey, have you in your Googling checked out the reports from MIT? It's about a month old, and they have developed a new system for it's a set of batteries, apparently low cost and high retention, that would permit us to grab solar power, convert it to electricity, and then store that power for use after the sun goes down. And this could be a substantial breakthrough to allow us with solar arrays on our homes to collect enough power during the day that we could, watch our favorite game shows at night and run the dishwasher and, use our other appliances without ever going on to the grid itself.
You're absolutely right. And not only that, but there's a race out there of various technologies that are battery and battery-like to come to the marketplace. There's flywheel technology that's been around a long time, and that's really coming up fast. There's lithium-ion battery storage, so you can retrieve the electricity at night. There's a hydrogen economy where you use solar panels during the day to perform electrolysis of water and then burn the put the hydrogen through a fuel cell at night to get electricity. And there's many, many things coming online very shortly. One thing that I do is I go to Google, and I put in the word batteries, and then or lithium-ion batteries, or different things like that. And then I press there's a news button up above there, the
right.
News maps,
uh-huh.
And I press the news button. First I press the search button, and then after that I press the news button, and it'll tell me all the latest things about battery research and development or flywheel research and development. And it's really wonderful what's coming up really fast, and it's the race right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, Harvey, I appreciate your input as always. You bring us thoughtful information about our energy future, and I hope people will check your facts via Google or their favorite search engine. Thanks for checking in today.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, that's Harvey in Berkeley. 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Well, the Obama campaign seems to have done a great job of keeping secret the vice presidential pick. Any day now, it could be as soon as tomorrow, Wednesday, millions of people will get text messages. And because I don't use my thumbs that well and I don't do a lot of text messaging, I signed up for an email alert. And it's got to come by Sunday. I can't imagine that they would open the convention on Monday in Denver without having announced the vice presidential pick. So I'd like to hear your thoughts here. It's still an open question. Remarkably, the Obama campaign has kept this from leaking out. The latest news accounts indicate that the selectee himself or herself has not been notified. And this is so rare. Now, it's fair to say we don't know McCain's pick either. But I think it's very interesting in Democratic history. I don't think a secret like this has been kept so well or so long. But if you'd care to speculate or name your favorite pick, I've got room for your calls between now and the end of the hour. And Andy Borowitz has a funny dispatch about one of the finalists on the Veep list. As we head into the fictional portion of our broadcast day with the latest dispatch from BorowitzReport.com, the headline read, Biden prepares 50,000-word acceptance speech.
Don't believe me about each other. Not a word.
In an indication that he expects to be Barack Obama's VP pick, Senator Joe Biden of Delaware has begun writing a 50,000-word acceptance speech aides to the senator confirmed today. The address, which Biden had been working on around the clock, is an abridged version of a 200,000-word acceptance speech that he wrote when he ran for president in 1988. According to those familiar with the speech, if Biden is tapped as Obama's vice presidential choice, the Delaware senator would begin delivering the speech Wednesday night and conclude it sometime on Thursday night. Representatives of TV news divisions say they're undecided as to how to cover the Biden speech, but none were willing to commit to covering the speech live in its entirety. NBC said we may wind up airing some of it on CNBC or maybe the USA Network and then cut away to something else. We're basically going to treat it like the hammer throw at the Olympics. And Biden, who was accused of plagiarizing a speech by a British politician when he ran for president back in 88, is unlikely to get caught doing that this time. According to one aide, if there's some plagiarized bits in the speech, he'll stick them at the end after the audience has lost consciousness. And Connie in Seaside didn't stay on the line, but she says that the latest she's heard is that it will be announced on Friday. So that is I think that's quite likely, but it could come sooner. They are working on the element of surprise, and it also appears that they have been working to collect as many cell phone numbers and emails as possible for the fall campaign. So I think it's a very interesting tactic on Obama's part. 888-5 Peter B. We're going to take our break and return for the home stretch here. If you'd like to add a comment, I'd love to hear from you. 888-573-8372. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Checking traffic for the final time this evening on KRXA and looking good out there. Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Salinas now checking in, stalling accident-free. There was a problem. Cathedral Drive at Trout Gulch Road, Santa Cruz County. We had an injured deer in the roadway, so drive with caution there. Highway 17 currently checks in, stalling accident-free. You will see some brake lights from 85 up to Bear Creek Road. After that, it does move well until you get to the Fish Hook in Santa Cruz. Southbound 101, some slow traffic from about Coyote Creek Golf Drive as you make your way down into Morgan Hill this evening. Highway 68's been great this afternoon. We've had no problems to tell you about. And this is brought to you by WAMU. There's never been a better time to save because right now, WAMU has great rates on their CD and money market accounts. To learn more, visit one of their locations in Monterey today. Saving at WAMU. Woohoo! Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Sometimes you start feeling so lost and lonely. Then you find it's all been in your mind. Sometimes you think someone is the one and only.
Now, Joe, think of this about the vice presidency. You can't get what you want
until you know what you want.
Until you know what you want. And Michael Moore has resurfaced. The documentary filmmaker who wowed us with Columbine and Roger and Me and, gosh, what was the last one about the war in Iraq? Doesn't come to mind right now. Anyway, he is resurfacing, and on Friday will debut Mike's Election Guide of 2008, along with the great filmmaker Robert Greenwald from Brave New Films. And Michael Moore's book includes How Many Democrats Does It Take to Lose the Most Winnable Election in American History? Michael Moore argues Democrats are masters of blowing it. They blow it especially when the electorate is desperate to give it to them. And in his book, Moore gives Democrats tongue-in-cheek instructions on how to elect John McCain, as well as outlining a to-do list for the first 10 days of an Obama presidency. And I just got an email dispatch from a friend of mine, and she received it from Michael Moore. And it'll make sense as I read it to you. Dear Caroline, we've never met, so I hope you don't find this letter too presumptuous or inappropriate. As its contents involve the public's business, I'm sending this to you via the public on the internets. I knew your brother John. He was a great guy, and I know he would have had a ball during this thrilling and historic election year. We all miss him dearly. Barack Obama selected you, Caroline Kennedy, to head up his search for a vice presidential candidate. It appears we may be just days, hours away from learning who that choice will be. The media is reporting that Obama has narrowed his alternatives to three men: Joe Biden, Evan Bayh, Tim Kaine. They're all decent fellows, Michael Moore says, but they're far from the core of what the Obama campaign has been about. Change, real change, out with the old, and don't invade countries that pose no threat to us. Senators Biden and Bi voted for that invasion and that war. The war Barack ran against. The war Barack reminded us was the big difference between him and Senator Clinton, because she voted for the war and he spoke out against it while running for Senate. A brave and bold thing to do back in 2002. He was running for the state Senate, just to be clear. For Obama to place either of these senators on the ticket would be a huge blow to the millions who chose him in the primaries over Hillary. He will undercut one of the strongest advantages he has over the 100-year war senator, Mr. McCain. By anointing a VP who did what McCain did in throwing us into this war, Obama will lose the moral high ground in the debates. As for Governor Kaine of Virginia, his big problem is, well, Obama's big problem. Who is he? The toughest thing Barack has had to overcome, and it will continue to be his biggest obstacle, is that too many of the voters simply don't know him well enough to vote for him. The fact that Obama is new to the scene is both one of his most attractive qualities and his biggest drawback. Too many Americans, who on the surface seem to like Barack Obama, just don't feel comfortable voting for someone who hasn't been on the national scene very long. It's a comfort level thing, and it may be just what keeps Obama from winning in November. And he puts in parentheses here, I'd rather vote for the devil I know than the devil I don't know. What Obama needs is a vice presidential candidate who is not a professional politician, but someone who is well known and beloved by people across the political spectrum. Someone who, like Obama, spoke out against the war. Someone who has a good and generous heart, who will be cheered by the rest of the world. Someone whom we've known and loved and admired all our lives, and who has dedicated her life to public service and the greater good for all. Pause. That person, Caroline, is you. I cannot think of a more winning ticket than one that reads Obama Kennedy. Caroline, I know that nominating yourself is the furthest idea from your mind and not consistent with who you are, but there would be some poetic justice to such an action. Just think, 8 years after the last head of a VP search team looked far and wide for a VP and then picked himself, along comes Caroline Kennedy to return the favor with far different results, a vice president who helps restore America to its goodness and greatness. Caroline, you're one of the most beloved and respected women in this country, and you have been so admired throughout your life. You chose a life outside of politics, to work for charities and schools, to write, to lecture, to raise a wonderful family. But you didn't choose to lead a private life. You've traveled the world and met with its leaders, giving you much experience on the world stage, a stage you've been on since you were a little girl. Well, I think this is fun. I think it's interesting. And I think the payback to Dick Cheney from the head of the search team picking herself is delicious just to consider, just to contemplate. But honestly, I can't think that Caroline Kennedy has the traction or the appeal to run on a national ticket. And there's always this little reminder of what it's like to be a Kennedy.
Ooh, I'm glad I'm not a Kennedy. Imagine being a Kennedy. Rule without remedy. Watch your family die. The world must sacrifice. The song will go through. On a ring of tragedy. The hunger for the crime. The privilege to take the love.
The right to breathe air as nature provided it, the right of future generations to a healthy existence.
Kennedy. Wearing the fame like a loaded gun.
Well, it's an interesting pipe dream, and thanks to Michael Moore for filling our pipe. I'm Peter B. Collins. I got the day off tomorrow. Scott Dick will be sitting in for all 3 hours of the program. I hope you'll be kind to him, call him, and talk with him. And then I'll be here Thursday, Friday. We originate live from our Seattle affiliate, KPTK. And then starting Monday, we will be live from the Democratic National Convention. And if you'd like to help underwrite our convention coverage, go to peterbcollins.com, click on You Can Help, or just pop a check in the mail to Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. Thanks to Nick Tanum and Katrina Rill for another great show today.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Fay is not your ordinary tropical storm. Instead of weakening after landfall, it got stronger and only recently slowed down and weakened slightly as it crosses South Florida. CBS News correspondent Drew Levinson is on the East Coast as the storm approaches.
The winds continue to increase with Fay down here in the Cocoa Beach, Florida area. Winds have been clocked at 60 to 65 miles an hour. Also associated with this storm, a lot of rain. There is flooding in the low-lying areas, and one big problem they're having to deal with, tornadoes. A lot of tornadoes are being spawned, and the problem also with so much rain, people can't see those tornadoes.
A twister in Brevard County damaged more than 50 homes. Once Fay is over the Atlantic, it's forecast to become a Category 1 hurricane and then turn toward the North Florida, South Georgia coast.
The National Guard has been activated. Members are being sent to 14 counties thus far.
Governor Charlie Crist urges Floridians to use common sense and be alert. CBS News has learned that Barack Obama has decided on his running mate, but that person might not know yet. And CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds says the first official word will come in a text message to Obama supporters sometime before Saturday when the running mates make a joint appearance.
The Obama campaign is keeping a tight seal on the selection of a running mate, telling us only about that Saturday meeting when the new Democratic ticket will appear jointly in Springfield, Illinois, where Barack Obama announced his candidacy last year.
The Democratic National Convention opens in Denver next Monday. Remember Harry and Louise? In 1994, they were the fictional couple in political ads used to rally opposition to the Clinton health care plan. Well, they're back.
Health care costs are up again. Small companies are being forced to cut their plans.
Tell me about it.
The same actors are reprising their roles, but this time the ads are pro-national health care. Louise says whoever the next president is, health care should be at the top of his agenda. There had been a lot of burglaries in Point Marion, Pennsylvania, but 85-year-old Lita Smith was ready when she heard someone breaking into her home. She grabbed the .22 caliber revolver she kept by the bed.